don't know how people got my phone number. I don't know if she's here tonight, but I got a call and normally don't answer. But I saw the area code. Keep playing. And we may do that chorus one more time. She said, "Who's this?" I said, "It's Ken Freeman." She said, "Oh my God." She was calling me. And she just wanted to thank me that she got saved. And she, I don't know how they look, found my number, but somebody just put in Ken Freeman phone number, found it. Y'all don't do it. But then I got this. I don't know if Paisley's here tonight. She sent me this. She said, "Thank you so much. I was an unsaved sinner." Well, not unsaved, but I'll tell you that my relationship with God was a little rough. This is from last night. And hearing tonight's message, man, it got to me. I've had a rough night. My friends from school invited me. And I've heard you before at the Heath Middle, which I'm going to tomorrow. But tonight, and the Expo Center, but tonight, I said that prayer in my head, and I was so scared to get up and admit that I did it. But I'm not ashamed to say that I am a child of God. Thank you, Mr. Freeman. I was told that over 32, was it 1,000? That listened on the internet to our message yesterday. At one point it was 24, at one point it was 32,000 people were listening online. And I'm happy for that. I just got a guy call from Florida. Some guy, evidently he heard it. He said, "Could you get to my church in August?" And so I'm praising God for the doors that are open. We've got one more night. I spoke to about 1,500 kids today. I don't know how many tomorrow. Probably a little bit more tomorrow, maybe. I'm in an alternative school. We didn't have any alternatives. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When we were growing up, our alternative was you either do good in school, live the streets, end up in jail, or you're dead. We didn't have any alternatives. And so I hope tomorrow night, one of these sections is going to be kind of reserved, 4 or 5 pews, and we want the youth group students to sit. I'm pretty impressed with y'all sitting up front. But that's where we want you tomorrow night, as close as you can. And then Sunday morning, I'm checking. Let's start sitting back up here again, students, with your Bible, notebook. It would be awesome. Amen. Would you bow your hair for a moment, head, and I want you to sing that chorus, just that last chorus. And as they sing this over you, would you kind of hold your hands out in front of you with your palms up? Every head bowed. Here's what I want you to do. Even if you don't want to be here, even if you're not sure where God is, just hold your hands like that. And what you're going to do is, as they sing this over you, you're going to receive this. And then as you receive it, maybe join in with them. All right, let's try it. Well, go ahead. Receive it.
Praise the Father.
Receive it.
Praise the Son.
Receive it.
Praise the Spirit. Three in one.
Come on. Now sing it. Now sing it with them. Come on.
Praise the Father.
Receive it.
Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory, majesty. Praise forever to the King.
Last verse. Come on. Receive it.
All of heaven
Receive it. Sing it. Come on. Think about it. Come on. God, we thank you for this week, and God, I'm glad we got another night. I pray for those students I spoke to today, or God, they're not going to go home and get a hug. They're going to walk through the front door of hell. I pray somehow, some way, they would make their way here tomorrow night. I thank you for the principals that have opened up the door and the teachers that gave up some time. I want to thank you for a church that was willing to give up some time and days to invest in people's souls and lives. And so even those that are watching online, God, if any of them are lost, would you save them? If they've lost their way, would you bring them back? And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Oh, come on. Like you mean it. Like you mean it. Give him a shout. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Hey, thank this praise team one more time. Man, they're good. Kenny texted me, said, do you think we could do one more song? Instead of three, could we do four? I should have said no. I said, yeah, dude, it's a good thing. If you got a Bible, I want you to open up to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to start there. We're going to end up with another story. Everybody say good ain't good enough. And if I was you, I would write that down. That's the title. Everybody say good ain't good enough. And then if you want to give a subtitle, say good is the enemy to great. We use that word good all the time. Would you agree? You're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Everybody say good. Isn't it funny how we use that word? How you doing? Good. How is your day? It's good. How's that job going? Oh, it's good. What about those kids? And most of the time, it ain't even good. And we do it at church all the time. We ought to just have a button, and we just point, and it says good. Just when you walk up to somebody, there it is. And I'm just telling you, how many of y'all have ever asked somebody how they're doing, and you really didn't want to know? Raise your hands. Hold them up. All you wanted them to say was good. Next time somebody asks you how you're doing, make stuff up. Just see if they're listening. So how you doing? My wife has leprosy. My son's wrecked both cars. My daughter killed the cat. That's kind of good. We burned the house down. I lost my job. And the person that asks you how you're doing, you could go through that whole scenario, and this is what they'll do. Well, that's good. Everybody say good.
Good.
Ain't good enough.
Ain't good enough.
Good is the enemy to great. It's just funny how we always use the word good. When I ask principals, hey, tell me about your students, most of the time they'll say, we got good kids. I'm thinking, well, then why am I here? Can I tell you why? Because good kids get drunk. Good kids take their own lives. Good kids will do school shootings. Good kids get an abortion. Good kids will do drugs and vape. I want you to hear me. We don't need good, we need great kids. And I'm going to tell you this, there's a lot of good churches. This church is teetering on being really a great church. Would you agree this has been a great week? Amen. Now, don't come up to my table when this is over and go, that was good, because I'm going to slap you. You see, I want you to understand, would you agree there's a difference between good and great, yes or no?
Yes.
There is a difference. You know, I don't know if you remember the Columbine shooting. Say, I do. I kept all the magazines, all of them. And this is what they said about Eric and Dylan, two young men. I want you to hear me. Because I met Rachel Scott, who was one of the first ones killed. I met her dad, and I want you to listen. I've been on stage with him. But here's what everybody, when I pause, say good. This is what they said about Eric and Dylan. They were good boys. They lived in a neighborhood. They had parents. They made grades. They went to a good school. And can I tell you this? Everything was good except that day their plan was to kill about 500 people. And that day good went very, very bad. You see, we got to be careful. And I'm just telling you, can I tell you about good? Good marriages will end in divorce. Good kids will throw their lives away. Good businesses will never make it. Good churches will split. You have to understand. Do you understand good? There's a huge difference between good and great. If you would agree, say yes.
Yes.
So I'm going to make sure that I draw the picture, then we're going to vote. Muhammad Ali, anybody know what his nickname was? Not Cassius Clay. He was called the greatest, the greatest. Are you ready? If I was in a Pentecostal church, somebody'd be jumping right now. Watch it. Are you ready? I have a feeling this lady up here, I promise you, I don't know where she went, but is she over there? Yeah, she loves Jesus. Are you ready? They call him the greatest because he could knock people out. Now see, if you all know your Bible, somebody's going to get excited. If he's the greatest because he can knock people out, Jesus must be greater because he knocked out sin, he knocked out death, he defeated the devil. Hello! Baptist, golf clap. Wayne Gretzky, I don't even think ice hockey's a real sport. I put it in there with men wrestling other men in their underwear. Dude, if you watch that, you're a sick person. Wayne Gretzky, you know what his nickname is? They called him the Great One. Are you ready? Somebody get ready. She's ready over here. She's going to be ready. Are you ready? He's the Great One because he can skate on ice with a stick, a puck, and whatever. They call him the Great One because he could skate on ice. Do y'all see where I'm going? Evidently, Jesus must be greater because he walked on water.
Yeah.
Hello? He moved mountains.
Yeah.
I would say that's the Great One. Tony the Tiger. Frosted Flakes aren't good. Come on there. Could you see Tony doing this? Frosted Flakes, they're really good. Have you noticed that he hadn't aged a bit? Can I tell you what? This Bible ought to be your Frosted Flakes. Prayer ought to be your Frosted Flakes. Men, church, loving Jesus ought to be the Frosted Flakes in your life. If you're listening, say yes.
Yes.
Are you ready? Good athletes don't win a Super Bowl. It's the?
Greatest.
Good athletes don't win an NBA championship. It's the? Good baseball teams don't win a World Series. It's the? And good athletes don't all go to the Olympics. It's the great ones. So have I proved my point? Is there a difference between good and great? Because some of y'all are going to go brain dead on me in just a minute. So we're going to take a vote. You got to vote one way or the other. I want you to look around at the crowd in the balcony. Just kind of glance around, and now I'm going to ask. Here we go. According to what I just went through, good and great, you got to watch this because we've got three enemies in our life, and I'm going to dwell on the third one. According to good and great, I want you to look around. How many of y'all would say tonight's crowd is a good crowd? Raise your hand. It's a good crowd. Come on, hold them up. I love the ones that are confused. According to good and great, did I give a good description? All right, so how many of you would say that this is a good crowd? Okay, put them down. How many of you would say this is a great crowd? Okay, you're wrong. Well, you're wrong. Can I tell you why? And I'm going to make you feel good in a moment. This is a good crowd, a great crowd. We would have people sitting in that choir. We'd have people sitting on the floor. There might be standing room only. And I've been in some churches where I have seen the greatness of God. By the way, I'm going to make you feel a little bit better. This isn't a good crowd. It's very good. That makes you better. Have we had a great week?
Yes.
Have we had great worship?
Yes.
Have we had great decisions?
Yes.
Have we had a great word?
Yes.
But I want you to listen. We settle for good. And I want you to listen, I am a great grandfather. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great neighbor. Look at me. Our churches and our schools are full of good. We, listen, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, this is even better. If you read John 14, verse 12, listen to this, just write it down. This is Jesus. Jesus said that you and I would do greater things than him. Because greater is he that is in than he that is in the. If you're listening, say yes. Everybody say good. Ain't good enough. Good is the enemy to great. Enemy number one. Here we go. Go, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Would you go to verse 8? Let me give you enemy number one, and here's what it says. It says, stay alert. When I pause, you'll know when to speak. Watch out for your what? Everybody say, great enemy. I had a guy come to my table tonight. I don't know where he is. You don't have to worry. Don't know his name. And here's what he said to me. He said, does the devil ever let up? Does the devil ever leave you alone? You know what I found out? If you're doing things for God, if you're doing things, I mean, for the gospel, and you're a threat to the enemy, he's coming after you. Let me just say this. If you go to the front door and you don't meet the enemy, you might be going the same direction. I think when I wake up in the mornings, the devil says, oh no, he's awake. Amen? So look at what he said. Your great enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Look at verse 9. Stand firm against him. Be strong. Remember what I talked about Sunday night? Be strong in your... Everybody, number one, everybody said, the devil is my enemy. I heard a guy say this. If it bleeds, it's not your enemy. It's not your mom, your dad. It's not your step-parents. It's not your biology teacher, even though it's close. Look at me. Your enemy is what you can't see. Oh, let me show you this. Go to Revelations 12. I normally don't do this. Go to Revelations 12. Look at this. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you read Revelations 12. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and go to the bottom, it says the devil masquerades as an angel of light. Hey, he plays for keeps. Look at this. Look at what he says in Revelations. And wherever that gentleman is, I want to help you. It's funny that you asked me that question. Look, if you would, at Revelation chapter 12. And I would tell you to read all 18 verses when you get a chance tonight. Everybody say, freaky book. Oh, it's a freaky book. Trust me. Look at verse 1. Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun. I'm telling you, that's a big woman. With the moon beneath her feet. That's some big feet. Look at this. And a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant. She cried out because of her labor pains. And I want you to listen. And the enemy came after her. Look at verse 5. She gave birth to a son who is to rule the nations with an iron rod. The child was snatched away from the dragon, was caught up to God, to his throne. Look, if you would, at verse 7. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. Watch this. And the dragon lost the battle, and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent, we call him Satan, the one deceiving the world, was thrown to the earth. Now watch. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heaven. It has come at last, salvation and power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ. Look, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to this earth. Watch. The one who accuses them before God day and night. And look at verse 11. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Do you know that every time you talk about Jesus, every time you tell people what Jesus has done, you defeat the enemy. But watch. Look at verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens. I heard little kids say no. Look at this. Look at verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens. You who live in the heavens, rejoice. But watch. But terror will come on the earth and the sea. Watch this, young people, underline it. And the devil has come down to you in great anger, and this is what he knows. The devil knows that his time is short. Please listen. The devil cannot unsave me, but if I open any doors, and I want you to listen, keep the doors closed. If you open up to lies, if you open up to lust, if you open up to pride, he's coming in. And the devil is, listen, if he could mess me up, and by the way, he attacks me sometimes by attacking my family. The devil knows that his time is short. I'm going to make this statement. If I was in a charismatic church, they'd probably shoot me. I'm kind of Baptist-costal, so. But I hate it when people blame stuff on the devil. Can I get an amen? You get a flat tire. Well, I get the devil. You think the devil's in hell going, this is going to be good. You know why you got the flat tire? This is tough. I'd write it down. Got a hole in it. We need to quit blaming stuff on the devil. I want you to listen. Can I give you this? The devil cannot defeat any of you if you're a Christian, because he's already been defeated. Watch. This is what will defeat you. Your openness to the devil's lies, your openness to pride, to depression, to fear. When you open those doors, that's what defeats you. The enemy's real. Oh, read on. Look at what he says. If you keep reading, verse 13, when the dragon realized he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had gave birth to the male child. We know who we're talking about, but she was given two wings, on and on. Verse 15, the dragon tried to drown the woman with a flood of water flowed from his mouth. Verse 16, but the earth helped her by opening its mouth, swallowing the river, gushed out the mouth of the dragon. And look at verse 17, and then I'm reading from my version. And the dragon was angry at the woman, and watch this. Are y'all listening? Watch this. And the devil, look at this. The devil declared war. Do you see this? And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war, watch this, against us. Against us. Look at what he said. And all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus, he's coming after us. But greater is he that is in than he that is in the. I was at a camp. I gave everybody a marble. I love doing camps, retreats, disciple nows, all that. And I gave every one of them a marble. They're supposed to put it in their pocket or put it in their shoe. And it represented something they were going to give up. That night, we had a bunch of people saved. It was going to be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. And all of a sudden, this little girl walked up to me during the invitation. Eighth grader, I found out. She had black fingernails, black toenails. She had black hair, black lipstick. She was into black. And she walked up to me, eighth grader, 13, 14, and had that marble. She said, here! Don't want your stupid marble. I think she thought I was going to wet on myself or something. And I said, good! I don't want you to have my marble. She said, I worship the devil. I said, you look like the devil's sister. I can play that game. She said, I go to a satanic church. I said, you can't even spell satanic. And she went away. I said, I'm going to pray for you. Go away. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was doing something I like doing. I was asleep. And there was a knock on my cabin door. I threw on a t-shirt. I had on some shorts. And I opened up the door, and it was a satanic girl with two of her friends. Makeup was running. I thought they sacrificed a counselor. I really did. I thought I would go out there and see a tree with the counselor. I said, young lady, what are you doing? She's crying. She said, these two friends paid for me to come to this. Brother Ken, I was really mean and rude to you. And Brother Ken, I just want you to know a few minutes ago, because of your message, somebody, I prayed, I got saved, God changed my life. She said, I want my marble back. I'm thinking, we could have done this at breakfast. Guys, look at me close. You don't want to miss tomorrow night. I am going to give some of my story, but I want you to hear me. There are two forces in light. Darkness and light. Evil, listen to me, and good. Oh, by the way, the only good thing in this world, everybody say God. Enemy number two, write this down. The devil is enemy number one. Here's enemy number two. If you've said this or somebody has said this, how many of y'all have ever heard this? Sometimes you can be your own worst enemy. Listen to me. Sometimes you can blame whoever you want to blame, but sometimes you defeat yourself by just not trusting in God. But there's a third enemy. Go to Romans chapter 3. Go quickly. We're getting to my story. I'm watching. Romans chapter 3. When you get there, Sam, there, I like it. If you're listening, we're having like a Bible drill. Romans chapter 3. Man, young people, I love y'all right here. We're going to pack this place out tomorrow. How many of y'all are coming back tomorrow night? How many of y'all, you're bringing some friends tomorrow, right? Listen, I'm hoping we got to put counselors up here in the choir. Amen? If you're listening, say yes. Everybody say good. Come on, good. Ain't good enough. I'm laughing because I hate it when somebody comes up to me, I'm feeling great, and they say, hey man, you're looking good. I'm thinking, dude, I was feeling great till you told me I was looking good. You want to have fun? Next time somebody asks how you're doing, just do this. Great! They'll go away. Go if you would to Romans 3. Go if you would to verse 10. Watch this. Enemy number three is good. If you settle for good, you'll never know the greatness of God. Psalms 48 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Watch this. Romans 3, verse 10. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise, no one really seeking God. Look at verse 12 and get ready to speak. All have turned away, all have become useless, and no one does what? Underline that. No one does good. The next time, because here's the deal. I can ask people all the time, hey, are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I go to church. Hey, are you a Christian? Well, I'm a good person. Hey, are you a Christian? Man, I mean, I'm just good. You're going to see that good is the enemy to great. Hell will be full of good people. Heaven's going to be full of bad people that got saved. If you're listening, say yes. I was on American Airlines. I like flying. I get upgraded first class. I usually wear shorts, flip-flops. I don't look like first class, but I'm in. And I'm wearing some kind of a Jesus shirt or something. And how many of y'all have ever flown? Have y'all ever played this game? You're in a seat and there's an empty seat next to you. Have y'all ever played this game? People are coming your way. Oh God. Oh God. Whatever you do, God, don't let that sit here. If you've ever played that game, say, I have. Because I'm wondering if I'm sitting in my seat and they're coming to me going, oh, God. And finally, they sit next to me. There's a point here. And you know they're dying to ask, how did he get in first class? He doesn't dress like it, but I'm in it. Finally, after a few minutes, this is no lie, they'll say, hey, sir, where are you headed? And I'm always going through Dallas when I flew. When the rapture comes, there'll be a layover in Dallas or Atlanta. Bottom line is, I said, I'm heading to go speak. I speak in schools and stuff. And then he said this. He said, sir, I got to ask you, what do you do for a living? And I said to him, well, what do you think I do? 8 out of 10 times, wait till you hear the answer. And then he said this, well, sir, don't take this wrong. Don't you hate that when people say that to you? Don't you hate it? Because you know when they say don't take it wrong, guess what we're going to do? Well, we're going to take it wrong. Next time somebody says that, say this to them. Don't take this wrong. Shut up. He said, sir, don't take this wrong. And there were other people wondering, what do I do? And I said, sir, I'm a preacher. And he said, really? And then he said this, what kind? I'm the kind that wrestle people in first class. I said, I go to a church and I share Jesus. And I said, I'm a preacher. And then he said this. He said, sir, what do you think it takes to get to heaven? I said, remember, I'm the guy that looks like a wrestler. That's what he thought I said. He said, I thought you were a wrestler. I said, sir, I don't want to wrestle men in their underwear. I don't want to do that. That's what I thought you were a wrestler. And I said, well, I wrestle the devil a little bit. He said, what do you think it takes to get to heaven? Watch. He said, well, I know. So I said, sir, what do you think it takes? And this is the number one answer I get all the time. You just got to be good. Man, I'm a good husband. I'm a good worker. I'm a good father. And I said, let me just tell you this, sir. Nobody in this world is good but God. Hell will be full of people that settled for good. Here's the story. Look at what it says in Romans 3. No one is righteous. No one truly is wise. No one seeks God. No one is good. No one does good. Not a single person. Their talk is foul like the stench in an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. Look at verse 17, 18, young people. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God. Look at this. Obviously, the law applies to those whom it was given, for its purpose was to keep people from having excuses to show that the entire world is guilty before God. Look at verse 20. I like how mine reads. No one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Can I give you a picture? If I stood in front of my bathroom mirror, and we're going to say it represents the law, when I look in the mirror, I'm just helping. And the mirror shows me that I shave here. I keep this kind of clean. But the mirror shows whether I got something in my teeth or I got a zit. But the mirror shows me I need to shave. Do I break off the mirror and shave with the mirror? Yes or no? But it's the law and the mirror is good. But can the mirror cleanse my face? Here's what happens. The mirror shows my need to be shaved, and it drives me to the razor, to the shaving cream. Are you ready? This Bible won't save you, but this Bible will show you your need to be saved. Look at it. Watch. Look at what he said. Verse 20, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Look at verse 21. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping his requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses. But look at verse 22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. And then you read verse 23, for all have. So listen to me. This Bible will help you and will show you your need for a Savior. Everybody say good. Ain't good enough. Go to Matthew 19. Here's my story quickly. Matthew 19, and would you look quickly at verse 16? We're going to end up in Mark, but we'll go there together in a few moments. Everybody say good.
Good.
Oh, like you mean, say good.
Good.
Is the enemy to great. See, I'm glad that you're here, and I'm excited. I can't thank you enough for shirts and the gifts. And I deserve hell is what I deserve. But would you agree God's doing something in your church? How many of y'all couldn't wait to get back here tonight? Just raise your hand. Man, I spoke at three schools, and I couldn't wait to get here. But look at this. Here's a story. And would you look at Matthew 19, verse 16. When you get there, say, I'm there. So here it is. Everybody say, show me the money. I know you know the movie, but are you ready for this? We don't know this rich dude's name, but this rich dude, watch. I call him Show Me the Money. This dude had money. Maybe he was married. I don't know because he had money. Are you ready? The dude had money, he was probably married, and he had morals. But look at the three questions that he asked. Look, here it is. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Some version says good teacher, and that word good teacher, because Jesus, God is, and Jesus are the only ones that good. And that good teacher shows a reverence or an honor. He said, good teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? That's question number one. Look at what happened. Jesus answered, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good, but to answer your question, I love this. He said, if you want to have eternal life, don't stop listening, keep the commandments. I think Jesus is kind of messing with him. Because how many of y'all sin today? Raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you just lied, so go ahead and raise it. How many of y'all didn't stop at all stop signs? Shouldn't there be a stop sign that says slow down, just look? How many of y'all went over the speed limit? Young people, be careful, your parents are looking. How many of y'all lied today? Whether it was little bit. How many of y'all spent money you didn't need to spend? How many of y'all worried today? Keep raising them. How many of y'all got mad today? How many of y'all talked to people in the car while you were driving like they could hear you? It's green! Look at me. It's not that we'll never sin. But as a born-again Christian, which is another message, we as a believer, according to 1 John, cannot make sin a practice. You heard about the guy that went to three stop signs and he rolled through, he'd never stopped. And finally, this cop pulled him over, rolled his window down. He said, I wasn't speeding. He said, no. He said, but you went through three stop signs. You never stopped. You just kind of rolled through. He said, what's the difference if I slow down or stop? The cop pulled out his billy club and started hitting him on the head. He said, just let me know when you want me to slow down or stop. If you're listening, say yes. Watch this. Question one. Jesus, I got money, but what good things must I do to get to heaven? Look at what Jesus said. He said, if you want to receive eternal life, just keep the commandments. Look at question number two. Look at verse 18. Do y'all see it? Man, I love these young people taking notes. Look at this. Which ones? Hey, Jesus, I got money, but which ones do I obey? I just want to know. Watch this. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Young people, this next one would send most of you to hell. Honor your father and mother. Look at this. And love your neighbor as your... This guy's good. Look at verse 20. He said, Jesus... In fact, if you read it in Mark, we're going to go there in a little bit. He said, Jesus, since I was a little kid, this is what he says in Mark, I've obeyed all those commands. He lied. How many of y'all have people in your children or brothers or sisters, whatever, people that are 5 years and younger, raise your hand. They're in your life. They're bad people. They're bad people. They cry for no reason. They eat dirt. They bite. Are you ready for them? I mean, here's the bottom line. I said, I will never forget. They're bad people. My son's always said this. I never had to teach my kids how to be bad. It was natural. I said that one time in a church in Oklahoma. A young lady, she was sitting on the front row with her parents. And I said, if you're five or young, you're bad. She looked at her mom. I heard her say, Mom, I'm glad I'm six. I want you to listen. He said, ever since I was a little kid, I've obeyed all these commands. Look at question number three. I promise you, we're not long. Look at this. I've obeyed all, verse 20, I've obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. And look at the third question, because this is the big one. What's missing? What else must I do to have eternal life? I got money. I got morals. I'm married. Jesus, what do I need to do? I'm on the board of a ministry in Africa. It's called Real for Christ, R4C. I've been there several times. They've built Christian schools. I've done conferences there with pastors. But when I first went the first time, there are monkeys everywhere. You know, like we got dogs and cats, they got monkeys. Baboons sitting on the side of the road. And those aren't the bad, it's the little monkeys. If you don't close a window or a door, they're going to go in and they're going to eat whatever they can find. And here's how they catch them. I didn't know this. And I went deep into the jungle and everything. But here's how they catch them. They get a coconut and they kind of open it up. They carve out the coconut and they put a piece of fruit in the coconut. They put a hole at each end of the coconut. I guess they put it back together and they tie it with a string or a rope and then they tie it to a tree. And they don't have knives or guns. They have a net, and they wait for the monkeys to come out of the tree. They smell the coconut, maybe the fruit that's in there. Are you ready? Watch this. And they put their hand in the coconut, and they can feel that fruit. Watch. And all of a sudden, they want to take that fruit, and they begin to take the fruit out, but they run into a problem. They can't get their hand out of the coconut unless they... I know what some of y'all are thinking. Did he just call us monkeys? Oh, no, no, no. That monkey will die with its hand in a coconut. See, here's where we are. How many of y'all worry? Raise your hand. And as long as you hold on to worry, you'll never be a worshiper. How many of y'all have fear in your life? Raise your hand. Be honest. You hold on to fear, you'll never walk in faith. Please listen. If you hold on, watch. If you hold on to pride, you'll never know humility. You hold on to hate, you're going to hear, I hated my mom, I hated my dad. I was saved 3 years before I let go of the hate. And when I let go and I got things right, you'll hear tomorrow night, it changed my life. See, here's my question for you that are taking notes. What do you need to let go of? Fear, worry, insecurities, depression. Listen, your past, guilt. If you hold on to religion, watch. You'll never have a relationship with God. You hold on to unbelief, you'll never believe. And so the question is, I'm telling you, we're almost done. What do you need to let go of? And there are some of you here tonight that need to be saved. Oh, you've walked aisles, you've filled out cards, you've done all the stuff. And you're holding on to some prayer that you prayed, or you're holding on to some aisle that you walked, and those... You're holding on, man, I'm a good person. Oh, keep reading. So watch what happened. Here it is. What else must I do, Jesus? Verse 20. Now go, if you would, to Mark chapter 10. Same story, but I want to end in Mark chapter 10. When you get there, Sam, there, notice verse 17, Mark 10, 17. Notice the difference. As Jesus is starting on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, "Show me the money." He knelt down and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to have inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good?" Look what Jesus said, "Only God is truly good." Look at verse 20. "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commands since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love. Watch this. He said, "There's still one thing you haven't let go of. There's still one thing, watch, that you haven't done." Watch this. He said, "Go sell all your possessions. Give the money to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Young people, I got to say this to you. I'm glad that you're here. But young people, if you can't live for Jesus at home, honoring your parents, obeying your parents, if you can't do that, you'll not live for him anywhere. It starts in your home. Husband, if you're not the spiritual leader in your homes, you won't be a leader anywhere else. You got to hear me. What do you need to let go of? I think God wants to do something tonight. Look at this. Look at what he said. He said, "Go sell all your possessions," verse 21, "give the money to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, come follow me." And look at verse 22. The man's face fell and he went away. What kind of possessions did he have? The Bible says he had great wealth. This dude had money. He had morals and he had a marriage, but he didn't know the master. Are y'all listening? What? I had to let go of my hate for my mom, my dad. I mean, I was saved 3 years, but I was miserable. And February 7th, 1970, I'll explain more tomorrow night, 11 o'clock at night, 1102 Melissa Drive, I've been saved 3 years. And that was the night that God said, "You got to love your mom and dad and forgive them like I've forgiven you, or you'll never be free." And my last name is Free Man. If you're listening, say yes. Read on with me. Hey, wherever he is, come play piano. Yeah, come on, dude. That makes you feel better. See, when he starts playing, you're going, "Okay, we're close." Is anybody in a hurry? You think I preached too long? I'll be honest with you. I've been preaching shorter than I normally preach. But watch this. Verse 22, "At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad." Can I tell you this? He missed it. There are people that missed it Sunday morning, Sunday night, last night, and some are going to miss it tonight. You just held on to your pride. You held on. What's every embarrassment? My son for 3 years had his hand in a coconut. He said, "Dad, I knew for 3 years I was lost." Please listen. I prayed with him when he was 8. He was a virgin when he got married. Drank a little bit with his quote friends, didn't do drugs. And here's what I asked him. I said, "Jeremy, how did you know from 13 to 16, how did you know you were lost?" And here's what he said. He said, "Dad, I didn't care about the Bible." He said, "Dad, I would skip out of chapel or at our school, or I would skip out of church. You'd never know it." He said, "Dad, if you came to our school," and I went to a school a lot, "man, some of my friends would get saved, and they didn't want to go party anymore." He said, "Dad, I was embarrassed of what you did." He said, "Dad, you," and by the way, he was an incredible athlete, smart student. He said, "Dad, you would think that if I got saved today, watch." He said, "I'd have a passion for the things of God." Oh, by the way, he said, "Dad, I'd raise my hand while the other one was in the coconut." And he said, "Dad, for 3 years, I held on to pride and fear, embarrassment." Don't stop listening. I want you to listen. And in 1997, he let go. Today's his birthday. I want you to hear me. He's walked through some tough waters. But if he had never let go, he possibly would have died lost. If you're listening, say yes. Watch as I close. Verse 23. Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, "How hard it is for a rich to enter the kingdom of God." This amazed him, so he said it again. "Dear children," he used another word, "it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God." Can I tell you this? You'll never know you need God till you need God. Can I tell you about Oprah? By the way, Oprah's lost. If you believe she's saved, you're probably lost. She's New Age. Millions of people follow. She believes there's a lot of way to get to heaven. That's not what John 14:6 says. Can I tell you about Oprah? She doesn't need our God. She's got power. Madonna, y'all know who she is? Yeah, she needs clothes. Look at me close. She wears a cross, a crucifix on her neck. By the way, Jesus ain't on the cross anymore. But see, she doesn't need God. She's one of the richest. Now, I don't know if Donald Trump is saved or not, but I know he surrounded himself with some right people. But can I tell you, sometimes you just don't need God, even if you're president. And you'll never, are y'all listening? See, you'll never know you need God until you need God. Watch. I wrote this in my Bible. How hard it is for you to enter, very hard, the kingdom of God. You see, by the way, how many of y'all like having money? Now, if you don't, the boxes are at the wall. I see the boxes. Some of y'all went blind. There's boxes everywhere. Stuff them. Is there anything wrong with having money? No, watch this. It's not having money. It's the love of money. And this rich dude asked the right questions at the right time. Watch. He asked the right person, got the right answer, but he did the wrong thing, walked away. Here it is. Verse 26. The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" Jesus. And listen what he said. This is what he said. He looked at them intently. He said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, we got too many preachers, priests, and people. I want you to listen. They're trying to tell you, be good, work good. I mean, give, do this, do that. None of that. Well, that's religion. Let go of religion. Let go of your pride. Let go of your past, your fear. When my son got saved, about 1,000 kids there. Some of his best friends got saved as well. In fact, they're in ministry today. And everybody was shocked when my son went forward. Do you know what he did? When he got back to his Christian school that year, he stood up in front of, I think they had 400 or 500 in their school, 6th through 12th grade. He stood up in front of the whole school, First Chapel. He said, "I want to apologize to my teachers for cheating, for lying." He didn't name anybody. "I want to apologize to my friends for the parties that we went to." He said, "But I want you to know that I got saved and I let go of all that." Watch. Verse 28. Peter said, "Hey, Jesus, we've given everything to follow you." Jesus said, "Yes, but watch. I assure you that everyone who has given up his house, brother, sister, mother, father, our children, our property for my sake and for the good news will receive in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sister, mothers, children, property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will receive eternal life." Are y'all listening? My son for 3 years raised his hand while the other hand was holding on, and finally he got saved. Please listen, there are some adults in here, there are people in this room. The reason you don't have a passion for the Bible, the reason when this week's over you just go right back, I'm not. The reason that is, there's a great chance, the reason you don't share your faith, the reason you always are defeated, is just maybe you've never been saved. I was at a church in Utah, Mormons. They hated me. And I got in their schools, and I will never forget. It was a good-sized Baptist church. This man and his son got saved, and they came out to talk to me, and here's what they said. Sir, whatever you do, don't introduce us. Because as soon as our family finds out that we're saved, they're going to disown us. They literally gave their family up to be saved. We had a young lady baptized in our church years ago, Mormon. Her co-workers were witnessing to her, and they got her to go to church, and she got saved. She went home and told her parents, hey, I got saved, and I'm going to go get baptized. And they said, if you do, we're going to disown you. That night, I'll never forget, in the baptistry, here's what she said. She said, I want you to know that God saved me, and I'm never going to be the same. And I want you to know that more than likely, my family's going to shun me. She said, I want you to know that tonight, I've let go of everything to follow him. Oh, by the way, when she went back home, her luggage, everything that she had, clothes, was on the front porch with a little note that said, never come back. She let go. So let me ask you, if your heart, please listen, because some of y'all are still dealing with Sunday. If your heart were to stop, if you were to die, do you know that you're saved?